Welcome to The Eminence Project. In this series, I share raw, real conversations with people who ignite my soul, clients, friends, experts, who have faced their challenges head on and risen stronger by choosing themselves. I'm Bryony Lieber. To be eminent is to shine. Join me to step into your brilliance. So today I have Varsha Mora in the studio with me, and we're going to be talking about the holistic healthy human. This concept is something that Varsha's been researching for the last little while and has recently co-published a paper in the Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy's journal. And the article is titled Accelerating the Rise of the Holistic Human. Varsha, welcome to the Eminence Project.
Thank you, Bryony. I feel really privileged to be here and have this conversation with you.
Well, it's long overdue because the name of this podcast came originally from a conversation that you and I had, where you were talking to me about research that you had done in an organization that you'd worked with previously and how that work was titled Your Eminence Research. And when you were talking about that, it really made me realize that we so often, we focus on doing research into everything but ourselves. And we forget to put ourselves at the center of our lives. We forget to make ourselves our own research projects. And when we allow ourselves to be at the center of our lives and allow ourselves to be prominent in our lives, it gives us the opportunity to be present and to start being change agents in our lives and in the world around us. And I think it connects so nicely to what you talk about in the holistic, healthy human. And so I wanted to just ask you to maybe give us a bit of a backstory to the holistic, healthy human and a little bit of a backstory to who you are and how you entered into this world of this sort of research.
Thanks a lot, Bryony. First of all, I wanted to share with you that I feel honored and privileged to have been some small part of your journey towards your Eminence podcast. A little background about the holistic human and the holistic healthy human and how all of that emerged. It's been quite a journey. And it's been a journey around, very much around my own personal, spiritual, as well as professional journey. And I think that only once you take the opportunity to reflect and to understand the journey that you've been through, then only would you be able to pick up on the various interconnected dots. I'd like to call them interconnected dots or transition points that have, you know, led you cumulatively to this point or landed you to this point. During my postgraduate studies, I was, you know, consistently having a conflict within myself around following a traditional route and conforming and then following a route that is being true to my curiosity and my authenticity and my creativity. And so even during studies, I began my studies on the traditional psychology route. And then I got attracted to a curriculum for my postgraduate training. And there were a couple of modules within that curriculum that really attracted me. And that was firstly eco-psychology, which is really the interface between ecology and psychology, really looking at the interconnectedness between human well-being as well as the well-being and the health of the planet or the environment. Okay. And then the second module that really attracted me was that of transpersonal psychology. And transpersonal psychology is the interface between psychology and spirituality. I think that if I were to start at the beginning of the journey of the birthing of the holistic human, it was probably at that point being exposed to eco-psychology. And then as I continued further in my studies and I eventually registered as an organizational psychologist, I then entered the workplace. So again, starting to continue following a traditional linear career path within corporate. And then I think that that urge in me to now follow a more creative or to be true to my creative side then started to become sparked somewhere around, you know, the end of my of my time and my first, job opportunity, which was in the cement industry. And that's when I then co-founded a center focused on holistic health. And so at that point, I had one foot in corporate and one foot in doubling with entrepreneurship. And it really, really was so exciting to be part of that journey. We had five modalities within the business that were all focused on complementary medicine or complementary health services. That was really focused on supporting individuals with their managing lifestyle-induced stresses, both on the mind and the body.
And so many of those stresses come from being conforming.
Yes,
absolutely. So there's a couple of things that are coming out here. The one is around your interest in kind of the individual, but how the individual interfaces with something much bigger than themselves.
Mm.
And this connection with the human and the world in which the human lives.
Yes.
And then these parallels between I need to conform, but every time I conform and every time other people seem to conform, there's something that comes up that makes things very kind of uncomfortable. And when you veer off towards what looks like non-conformance, but is actually authenticity and truth to who you are, that's where the creativity emerges. That's where the kind of these dots of interconnectedness start to emerge, and where really the kind of the creativity, the courage, the kind of innovation comes out for you. That's what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. And I keep going back to that conflict, because it's a conflict that you know, sort of takes place within yourself. And I think herein emerges like a story around our career paths and where that is aligned in relation to the future of work. Because as we learn more and more, as the various different multiple vectors of change are taking place, technological, social, the green transition, so many different vectors of change are taking place, we realize that the world of work is definitely not the way it was.
No, it used to be a very linear, climb the ladder, you go in one direction, and now it's an incredibly squiggly and uncertain and ever-changing environment.
Absolutely. And so, yes, Brioni, I have been following a squiggly career path. And it reminds me of a really wonderful quotation by Rumi that says that, where he says that as you begin to walk on the path emerges. That's a really, really beautiful pearl of wisdom to be able to inspire you along this journey.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Because what it says is, the path doesn't have to be clear. Every step you take creates the path. And no matter which step you take, so there are no missteps in life, really. There are just steps. And when we stop, the path stops. But I think for me, when we stop and we kind of allow ourselves to be present, that's where we allow ourselves to be conscious and then decide, what is my next step? So instead of very unconsciously running forward, we stop and consciously decide, what is the next step? Where is the direction that I want my path to go?
To go, yes.
Because if I guide it through very kind of conscious, intentional steps, then I can create the path.
Absolutely. And I want to weave in, some of what you mentioned earlier around curiosity. I've mentioned being true to my curious side, being true to my creative and my authentic side. I think those are very important elements that actually keep you grounded when you are feeling uncertain on that path.
But it takes courage to...
It takes a lot of courage.
To be true to yourself.
It does, it does.
I mean, I love the definition of courage that Brené Brown has. And she says, courage is to speak your mind by saying what's on your heart, which I think is such a beautiful definition, because so often we shut down what's on our heart because we're trying to follow what we've been told, society, our parents, whoever, says we're supposed to be doing. And so when we don't have that courage to explore what's truly within us, within our souls, within our hearts, we get very stuck on a on a path that is actually not one that we're creatively making for ourselves.
Mm.
Okay, so squiggly careers. I've also had quite a squiggly career, and there've certainly been points in my career where I've stopped and kind of, there've been points where I've had this awakening of, I'm on this trajectory and this isn't a trajectory that I feel kind of connected to.
Mm.
And if I carry on this trajectory, I don't know where I'm going to be and I don't know who I'm going to be in a year, 5 years, 10 years' time. And it's been at those kind of junctures where my career has changed quite dramatically. And those junctures have been quite scary. And I would imagine those junctures for you have come with some kind of fear as well.
Mm, absolutely.
Because fear and excitement come in the same package, really.
Totally, totally. There were so many times along this journey. And I would say even at this point, you know, I think it also takes courage to say that it is fearful, even at the point where you kind of have landed. Because it's fear of the unknown. And it's fear of, sometimes it's fear of, when you're being true to yourself and you're being true to your authentic self, it's sometimes fear of, you know, how fear of you, of the magnificence that could emerge in.
Yeah, that's interesting. So if I'm true to myself, I could be incredibly impactful. I could be bolder and bigger than I am when I'm not being true to myself.
Absolutely.
And that if I'm all of that, I might not belong?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, and so that, I mean, what you've shared right now is raising something else for me, that somewhere around 25 years ago, I had crafted a collage of my life purpose. It was actually a project that was in my postgraduate studies, to become a psychologist. And I had to really think and reflect and apply my creative skills in crafting a, you know, a collage that would represent my life purpose. And now, very recently, I pulled it out from you know, stacks that I had kept and probably forgotten about that. And I realized that the foundation of the holistic, healthy human is actually sitting within that picture.
Okay.
Which
that's
is fascinating.
So that's
and
been bubbling
yes,
under the surface.
Yes, it's been bubbling subconsciously, consciously, on every level. And I want to go back to, you raised something about, you know, being lonely, or it's like a lonely road. And because somewhere on that collage, actually on the total right-hand side of the collage, if I remember correctly, I had a road that I had drawn. And it was, you know, moving in one direction and I was kind of moving in a different direction. And I had entitled that The Road Less Traveled.
Mm-hmm.
And that has really been, you know, the more authentic, the more truer I have been to my creativity, my authenticity, my curiosity. I have found that I have been walking more on that road. Because when I was, you know, being true to conformity, I was walking with everyone else,
mm-hmm.
which is not a bad thing, but it just makes you wonder, is that really who you are and what impact you like to make in the world?
Yeah, it raises the question of, surely there's more than this?
Yes.
Okay. And so when we go out seeking the more, it can sometimes be a road less traveled, a lonely road, one where you don't feel like you belong. And then you find a juncture in the road where you find your people, where
yes.
you find a connection with your purpose and other people's purpose. Mm, and that perhaps is where that kind of road less traveled starts to make more sense again.
Absolutely. And I mean, so I call that the tribe, finding
yeah.
your tribe.
Yeah.
It's quite a constant search to find your tribe. You've got to be true to yourself. Because as you start walking on that road, and if it is the road less traveled, and you are being more truer to your creativity and your authenticity, then you will find that there are like-minded people that will now want to join you on your path because it aligns to their purpose.
So this is the constant contradiction of life, right? Mm. We are hardwired to want to be part of a tribe. And then we learn that in order to stay in the tribe, there's a certain way or a way that we need to conform in order to stay within the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hang out in this tribe where we conform, and then we start to question, am I really being true to myself? And when we start being true to ourselves, we sometimes step out or even get kicked out of the tribe,
mm-hmm.
follow this very lonely road for a while where we feel we're aligned with our purpose, we're aligned with who we are at our essence, and we don't feel like we belong. And then at some point we find and gravitate and have people gravitate towards us because they're our tribe again. So we have these kind of, these journeys that kind of can be full of belonging and then full of being cast out.
Absolutely, yeah, full of belonging and then full of loneliness,
yeah.
You know, at the same time. So it's an interesting contradiction. I want to pause there, Brioni, and just try to reflect back on a very powerful pearl of wisdom that was shared to me by a very senior leader. She shared to me that, have you realized that when you are not being authentic to yourself, that you are robbing the world of the rich gifts that you have to share with them? And I had not thought about, you know, authenticity in that way. Mm. And, you know, if I think back now to what I've shared with you around the collage and my life purpose and the holistic healthy human concept, you know, sitting in that photograph or that collage as the foundation of it, she is absolutely right. I would have been robbing the world of that gift, you know, of the holistic healthy human, and, you know, had I not followed that route.
Well, and I think that's true for a lot of people. I mean, I certainly look at the moment, how many people are trying to be a carbon copy of the next person. You'll look on LinkedIn and everybody's posting the exact same thing about the same topic.
Yeah.
It's almost as if they're putting it into the same AI, which they are, to generate their same version. And so you lose the depth, and you lose the richness, and you lose the creativity, and in that kind of, again, conformity, you lose a sense of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to bring this back to your holistic, healthy human concept, because what you're talking about there is that is core to sustainability. It's core to achieving the S in ESG, so environmental, social, and governance, and that when we are authentic to ourselves, when we are true to ourselves, when we show up as in greatest alignment to who we are, that's when we have the greatest connection to others. That's when we are able to catalyze change. That's when we catalyze connection and deep relationships and empathy and understanding. And it's in that connection to ourselves, to society, to the world around us, that my understanding around this holistic human, healthy human, that's where we transform and create effectively the world that we want to live in and that will sustain us. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. So the concept of the holistic healthy human, was born based on key observations that I had made. First observation that I had made was that, you know, with the rise of ESG and the rise of sustainability taking center stage, there was incredible focus on the E, the environment, and the G, the governance, mm-hmm. and rightfully so. But for me, if ESG transformation is to be true, powerful, robust, and sustainable, all three components, E, S, and G, need to transition systemically,
mm-hmm.
and in unison with each other. And we cannot be leaving certain of the components lagging behind. And in my view, the S tended to be lagging behind. Yes, there is exposure, and there is debate and discussion around IS, but it does not get that airtime.
Well, it's the more intangible part that the E you can quantify, the G you can tick all the compliance boxes. Yes. The S is the very intangible, sometimes very emotive, very hard to pin down because human beings, because that is what the S is, are constantly changeable.
Absolutely. And so it perturbed me, the fact that, you know, I fully understood and rightfully so that the ENG were getting that attention, but it perturbed me that S was lagging. My second observation was that the S in business is really to do with the elevating the social conscience, mm-hmm. you know, of various stakeholder engagements. And the S is really, you know, dealing with addressing like deep and important social aspects relating to fairness, justice, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, your well-being, you know, health and well-being, and your community, you know, health and community engagements. All of that for the benefit of people and planet. And it all culminating towards the establishment of strong, healthy, trusting relationships with various stakeholders. If we think or reflect on that deeply, all of those elements are moving away from the individual unit towards the integrative whole. Mm-hmm. We say that, you know, social change or the S is really about the establishment of healthy, trusting relationships, you know, equitable relationships with multiple stakeholders. But where does that social change begin? Nobody is talking about where it begins. We speak about S, we speak about social and the social enterprise, but, you know, change begins first at the individual human level through an individual unit. Mm-hmm. That individual unit, when it transforms, it then together cumulatively transforms teams, transforms communities, transforms families, transforms organizations. You mentioned, you know, having, you know, read the article that is recently being published, where I was leading the research together with my esteemed colleagues that are professionals and leaders within the sustainability spaces and the minerals industry. And I would say the holistic healthy human is applicable to all industries. Mm-hmm. It was just that for the purposes of the paper, we chose to focus on a lens on the minerals industry. So that's really where you know, sort of that level of change begins at the individual human level. Cumulatively, the individual unit, when that transforms, starts transforming the group, the society, the team, the organization, the planet.
I don't think anybody would disagree with you, but I think the complexity around this is the chicken and egg part of this. Mm. It's, if we lived in an ideal world, we would all magically at the same time kind of become more conscious and become more connected to our authentic selves. But the reality of the world is we live in very complex layers and communities and systems. And while one person's doing the work to kind of align with their authenticity, mm-hmm. another person is showing up with the biggest kind of super ego ever. And when you put this into a mining lens, you've got individuals who are trying to connect with stakeholders. Mm. Stakeholders who have often the lower end of the power relationship between themselves and the organization. And then there's a power relationship between the organization and the individual within the organization who's trying to affect the change. Mm. And so it gets really, really complex.
Mm-hmm. You're totally on point with that. And in the framework, to the point that you make around the complexity, the arrows in the framework are moving in both directions. Mm-hmm. And in the paper, when describing that framework, we speak about, and I say we as a team, the team that has, you know, put this research together, we speak about the dynamic nature of the different components of inner holistic health and interpersonal holistic health and the various stakeholder engagements that it eventually impacts. The arrows are moving in both directions because you could be having a healthy community impacting the individual as well as the individual, then impacting the community,
mm-hmm.
as an example. And same with the other stakeholder elements that we've noted down in the framework, like, you know, the family, the organization, eventually the environment and the planet. So it's definitely not a unidirectional. Mm. If we think about it really deeply, even if we have a healthy family or a healthy organization, then impacting the health of the individual, that healthy organization is constituting groups of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And those individuals all had to have, at some point, shifted in some way.
Yes.
And so in the holistic healthy human framework or the research, we speak about inner holistic health, which is to do with our physical and mental, our physical health and safety, our mental health, and our spiritual health.
Mm.
The elements that are close to us as individuals. And then we speak about interpersonal holistic health, which is to do with our social health, our engagements with others. It deals with our healthy, holistic healthy engagements and transactions with others.
Okay, so what I'm understanding you say, first of all, is it first starts with the individual taking responsibility for their own internal world.
Yes.
And doing the work to fully understand themselves, to be able to notice their emotions and their thoughts, and to be able to show up in a way that is responsible, not reactive, to make sure that they're healthy, that they sleep well, eat well, exercise well, do all those things, so that as an individual, they're taking full responsibility for how they show up in the world.
Yes.
The next level is how each individual then takes responsibility for how they interact with other individuals in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be really healthy when I'm on my own, and I can show up in relation to somebody else and suddenly show up in a very unhealthy way because of my reactiveness.
Absolutely. And so the interpersonal holistic health is where that social health comes in.
Yeah.
You know, where our engagements with others and in building trusting relationships with them, that is then where the element of authenticity, which we have been speaking so much in this podcast, comes in, because when we are authentic in our engagements with others, that is when we are going to start to see, you know, that level of building of trusting healthy relationships.
So that authenticity might look like, we need to have a difficult conversation. Mm. I'm feeling really anxious about this. And that anxiety might be something that you see exhibited in my behavior.
Yes.
I want you to understand this is where I'm coming from as we engage in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Very few of us ever do that.
Yeah.
We launch into a difficult conversation and nobody understands what they see in the behaviors.
Absolutely.
And what's driving it.
Mm.
And that puts up our defenses, and then we go straight to being these disintegrated versions of ourselves that can't build trust.
Mm.
Okay.
And then the next component after the authenticity would then be, you know, be embracing the diverse, equitable, inclusive person, human being within yourself and in others. You know, when you're engaging with them, remember the interpersonal holistic health component is all about engaging our healthy, trusting, equitable engagements with others.
Okay, so we all have different experiences, we have different backgrounds, we look different, we have different cultural upbringings, but we still have a common humanity amongst all of us. Okay,
and then encased around that is the psychological safety, where we feel safe to speak up without feeling that there'll be retribution or being punished, you know, for what we are saying.
So I can speak my mind by saying what's on my heart. I can have courage.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And obviously in a way that is not going to impinge on the basic human rights of the other individual that you're engaging with. And all of that cumulatively does two things. Firstly, it establishes that healthy, trusting, equitable relationships at the family, community, organization, and at the environmental or planetary level. And then secondly, it supports the development of holistic health and resilience in those stakeholders. So healthy and resilient family, healthy and resilient organization, healthy and resilient community, healthy and resilient planet. So that, and so very, very important that we have mentioned in the research in the development or the crafting of the framework is that all of the different components that I've mentioned to date are dynamic. They're not causal. So that's where the holistic and systemic nature mm-hmm. of the framework comes in. Systemic meaning that, you know, one impact on one component has a knock-on or ripple effect mm-hmm. on a number of components.
Okay, so we've got all these layers and we've talked about how this is systemic. So one player affects the next player and it has this ripple effect. Okay. Nobody will ever disagree that this is how we want to be. We all want to be these holistic, healthy human beings. Mm. We want to be able to be authentic within ourselves, have these trust relationships, feel safe to say what's on our heart. But the reality is we don't see this systemically in our organizations, in our communities, in our families, mm-hmm. in our one-to-one relationships. So what gets in the way?
So I think there's a couple of things that come to my mind. The first thing that would come in the way is, I'd say, an absence of an understanding, a systemic understanding of how all of these components fit together. So I think that we, like, if we have to put ourselves in the shoes of the individual sitting on the ground in the workplace, as an example, we have physical health and safety sitting in one functional area mm-hmm. of the organization. We've got mental health sitting in another one. We've got, more recently, in the last couple of years, there's been a strong focus on purpose in organizations. And that immediately links back to your spiritual health. That's actually one component of the spiritual health. The mm-hmm. other component is, you know, becoming aware that there's something bigger than ourselves, you know, or that we're actually part of. And then when we start looking at, you know, authenticity, we speak about it more in the leadership arena. Mm-hmm. And that maybe sits within human capital. And then we've got diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging, which could sit within transformation. It could sit within human resources. It could sit within sustainability.
So effectively, the human is compartmentalized across a whole number of business units and support units in organizations.
Absolutely.
And so we show up fragmented.
So if you're sitting in the organization and you're trying to make sense of all of these things that are being, words that are being, you know, thrown around, or, you know, interventions that are being, you know, people are being exposed to, and it can get quite confusing.
Well, yeah, and the reality is it's just easier to sit down and do my job and basically comply with and conform.
Yes.
Instead of having the courage to have some of these conversations.
Yes.
And I can see that at all levels, whether you're at kind of entry level in an organization or you're the leader at the very top.
Yes.
It's easier to just sometimes put your head down and just focus on the work as opposed to the human being.
Absolutely. And so, you know, coming back to that point, everything is sitting in silos versus integratively, holistically, systemically.
Yeah.
See, that's where all the words need to come. And all of those words that I've mentioned now are taking us towards the future of work.
So being far more transdisciplinary in the way that we do things.
Cross-functional.
Okay.
You know, cross-functional, not just systemic thinking, but systemic thinking and systemic action. Because systemic thinking is us all coming into a room together, different functional, cross-functional disciplines, trying to make sense of all of it together. And then systemic action is then, you know, taking action on that.
So, and this may be a difficult question to answer. Mm. At a very practical level, what are some of the practical things that leaders, individuals, and ourselves as human beings can and should be doing?
I think the first, you know, thing that we should consider doing is leaders at all levels coming into a room together and actually sitting down and talking to the common language that all of these different elements are speaking to. Because if we can have a common language, then we can all, and then once we identify a common language, making sense of what does that common language mean to each of our functional disciplines or to our organization? How does it link back to the strategic objectives or our key purpose in the organization? And I think when we can break it down to that level of granularity, the more practical actions can then emerge from that. And I think what's beautiful about the Holistic Healthy Human Framework is that we are all human beings, Brioni, working in the workplace. We are not robots. A human being speaking about their human experience is so natural compared to us speaking a technical language like titration or something scientific. And that's not to diss, you know, scientific language, but, you know, those things, words can be technical that require unpacking.
It's the conversation around what's it like for you as someone who comes from a mind community working in this organization.
Absolutely.
What are the day-to-day realities for you? What if I was to step into your shoes and live a couple weeks in your life, what would I experience?
Yes.
We don't have those conversations.
No.
And so it's impossible for us to connect with the other when we're only looking at the problem from our own lens.
Absolutely. So a second recommendation that was raised by the participants that we actually interviewed as part of the research was the need to have deep conversations around these. So I would call them courageous conversations or deep conversations that we have around these different components. And only once we have those difficult, bold conversations can we then align on, even if it's, you know, you don't need to come up with 5 or 10 practical key actions, even if it's 2 or 3 big impactful actions that we all agree upon. And that was a recommendation or something raised by participants as part of the research.
And these are leaders in the industry that you've interviewed in your research. So these are leaders that we would expect should be leading conversations like this. What's stopping them?
I want to go back to awareness again. This paper is now raising awareness towards the interconnectedness of all of these different components. Once we, you know, realize or go through our own journey on making sense as leaders of the different components of the framework, we can then begin to associate our own leadership language to that. And then only can we begin to have the conversation. Everything begins with awareness first, right?
Some of the key things that are coming out for me, and actually what I'm finding really interesting in this context that we live in right now, where AI has come to the forefront so rapidly and so many parts of the work that we do are being done by AI and will be done by AI as we go into the future. What I'm hearing you say is we need to be able to human better. As humans, we've almost been taught over the last couple decades to be more automated, more machine-like in the way that we interact with each other, in the way that we do our work, in the way that we show up. And actually, we need to start being more human, learning to be human again, learning to have human conversations with each other again, and let the AI do the AI stuff and create spaces for ourselves where we can actually show up as authentic human beings again. I think the second thing I'm hearing is that we need courage and we need curiosity about how am I showing up right now? Who am I showing up as? And what is the impact of that in relation to my interpersonal relationships, in relation to myself, in relation to my organization, in relation to the communities in which my organization sits? And is that a version of myself that is conforming to stay safe?
Yes.
And what would it look like if I had the courage to be more conscious and more present and more authentic? What would that do to my sense of belonging? What would that do to how I gravitate to the places, the spaces, and the people that align with my sense of purpose? And what would the impact of that be on relationships, communities, organizations, the world in which I live.
Absolutely on point there, Brioni. And I'm reminded of a beautiful quote that was made by, I think it was one of the consulting houses that said that the organizations of the future will be organizations who can tell a better story about the human being. We as individuals, as human beings and as leaders, need to become more aware of the systemic nature of our own holistic human health, whether that be on our own inner holistic human health and our own interpersonal holistic human health. When we can sit alone with ourselves in a room, begin journaling what that looks like for us, we will become more aware of the holistic healthy human within others when we engage with them. And that most certainly will be a key and vital conduit towards, you know, sustainable ESG transformation through the conduit of the social enterprise. To have the courage to walk the road less traveled, because when you do that, you are being true to your own authenticity, you're being true to your own creativity, which you may not have even realized or discovered about yourself. You will be being true to your own curiosity. Ask curious questions about yourself and about the world and about people around you. And all of that cumulatively will drive more innovation in the way you think, your diversity of thinking. You would be in a position to come up with a life purpose for yourself that is totally unique in terms of the gifts that you have to offer to the world. Going back to that important pearl of wisdom that was shared with me by a very senior leader, actually within the minerals industry, that said to me, Varsha, if you are not going to be authentic, you know, to your own self and be true to yourself, you will not be giving, you will be robbing others of the opportunity of the beautiful and unique gifts that you have to offer.
Yeah, I think those are very powerful words to end with. And as you've been talking about essentially getting uncomfortable, having the courage to reflect, having the courage to really examine where you are and what parts of yourselves are shut down and what parts of yourselves you want to open up and explore, it makes me think about all the clients who come to me and to others for coaching to get out of their comfort zones, to really be able to have a space where they can think better, more richly, more deeply, to understand themselves better and to navigate a transition from a life and a career where they're effectively shut themselves down and are just doing what they need to do to get by and are wanting to open up a world where they're aligned with their purpose, where they're aligned with who they believe they truly are at their essence. I can't help but suggest that there's a huge space for coaching in enabling these systemic changes that you're talking about.
I'd agree with you, Brioni. I think on an individual level, I think on a team and group level, organizational level, even to effect change at the family and the at the community levels, it requires that deep conversations. Definitely coaching is a key point, a key enabler.
So I want to thank you for being part of this conversation. And for anybody who wants to read your paper, they can find it in the Journal of the South African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Journal of Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy. It's released in the September presidential edition of that. And I would absolutely love to hear any deeper reflections from anyone who has read the paper and would like to share their reflections or their feedback or any questions they may have based on some of the outputs of the research that emerged.
Varsha, thank you. Change begins with the individual at a very human level. And this podcast is all about making changes by making yourself a priority in your life. Thank you so much for a wonderful conversation and all the best with the next steps.
Thank you very much, Brioni. I'd like to end off with my tagline for my business, which is really to be the change, to be holistic, healthy human, and to inspire the movement.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take care.